The buzzer has been poured on its way. Oh my goodness!
They have to get it. There's no timeouts. They do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Hey, welcome. It is Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic, Snoop Dogg edition. That's right. Snoop D-O-double-G, baby. Seth Greenberg, Dan Dokic, the world's greatest podcast. Two of the, well, I think the smartest guys you'll ever hear talk about college basketball, because quite frankly, we basically have spent our entire adult lives inside college basketball. And what you're going to get here on this podcast every week is you're going to get real. You're going to get real. We'll have a student section where we'll put it out on Twitter, where you can send us questions under the hashtag student section. We will answer your questions as we go through the season. We're going to have mega guests, whether it's, I don't know, Calipari, Izzo. As we move forward, we'll have everybody. But Seth, as I said, let's just jump right into it. It is the Snoop Dogg edition. For those of you that don't know, Snoop Doggy Dogg showed up at Kansas for late night with the Kansas Jayhawks, who are, oh, by the way, under investigation and with a letter from the NCAA, and they basically thumbed their nose. Snoop Dogg shot money at potential student athletes. We had somewhat strippers on four different poles. We had lyrics that are interesting, but Seth, was this a big middle finger to the NCAA on opening night?
It could have been a middle finger, except then they backpedaled. Like, here's the deal. Like, Snoop Dogg, I coached at Long Beach State for a long time. Snoop Dogg went to high school with four of the guys that played for me at Long Beach State. When you decide to have Snoop Dogg put on a show for you, you know what you're getting, all right? And that's just the way it is. Good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, he is who he is. And the guy, obviously, you know, there's a lot of stuff to his show. But here's the deal. You're Kansas. You're under an NCAA investigation. You've been named in an FBI inquiry, all right? If you're going to do that, then own it. Like, if you're going to say we're bringing Snoop Dogg, he's going to be shooting, you know, fake money into, you know, at recruits and into the stands. We're going to have, you know, scantily clad women climbing up and down poles. We're going to have the show that Snoop Dogg is going to put on. When you sign up for Snoop Dogg, you get Snoop Dogg. Well, if that's what you're doing, that's fine. Because there's a thing called run of a show. So run of a show basically says it's a contract between the performer and obviously the person that's hiring the performer. It has everything that's going on in the show. It's got the timing of the show. It's got the lyrics in the show. It's got any type of props they're going to have. It's basically explaining what the show is going to be all about. And you know what? The performer or his management group signs off on it, and so does obviously the person that's hiring them. So for like Kansas to backpedal after the fact and say, "Oh well, we didn't know it was going to go on. We thought we got Snoop Puppy, not Snoop Dogg." I mean, come on, give me a break. If you're going to do it and try to stick it to the NCAA and say, you know what, you know, we're the victim here, then just own it. But don't backpedal on it. That's just embarrassing. So basically, they thought they were getting Snoop Puppy. They got Snoop Dogg. They got embarrassed.
See, all right, let me go through this. I'm totally with you on, look, you're defiant. Kansas is defiant. They were defiant when they got the letter from the NCAA. All right, fine. So you're going to be defiant with Snoop Dogg. I'm so with you. Bill Self, my ass. Bill Self decides that he's going to be sick. He didn't see the show. The athletic director, Jeff Long, says, well, you know, we didn't know. Well, you of course knew. And as you said, well, I don't know if you even said it, but your daughter puts shows on. They have the log, as you said. You know exactly what they're going to do. I have no problem. I'm not a big, hey, it's a bad look guy. I don't care about the look. Here's what I would say. I would say, you know what? Kansas, pretty smart. Recruits loved it. Javonte Brown Ferguson, a 6'11 prospect, said he had a blast. The performance had the crowd growing crazy. Snoop Dogg himself said on Howard Stern, the audience enjoyed that stuff, I'll say. I don't know what the blank they're talking about at Kansas. Look, I'm not a big optics guy. if you're going to do that, it looked like everybody had a great time. But don't whine and complain on the other end. Just say, look, we did it. We loved it. You don't like it. That's on you. And the other thing is this. Let's be honest. We live in a world that is dying. I mean, dying to be offended. Who'd that really offend? That didn't offend anybody. The people that were there had a blast. I tell this story. I told this to you, Seth. Ludacris came to Bowling Green's campus. I invited every freaking recruit that I could possibly get to come to campus, Got three commitments after the show. One of the mothers said, Coach, Chris is coming and I'm coming too. I'm like, yes. So, you know what? Snoop Dogg's a great idea. Maybe it's bad luck, but who cares? Just own the damn thing. Just own it and say we did it and let's move on.
You know what? I am 110% agreement with you. I mean, here's the deal. I have no problem with it, but don't backpedal. I mean, that to me, that was embarrassing. Like, we're backpedaling. Like, well, we didn't know. Come on, stop. Just like, here's it. It happened. You knew it was going to happen. You knew who you brought in, and that's great. And the dude puts on a great show, and that's great. You know what? And the students loved it, and that's great. But
don't backpedal.
I am an optics guy because here's the deal. Forget it. I'm an optics guy when you backpedal because that's a joke. I mean, like the whole backpedaling, oh, we didn't know is embarrassing because it's your responsibility to know. Don't tell me what you don't know because it's your responsibility to know. So own it, number one. And number two is the optics thing to me, just in general. I mean, look, you are in the middle of an NCAA investigation. That's real. That's not a fantasy. You did come up in the FBI investigation. That's real. That's not a fantasy. So like, those two things, why would you want to bring any negative publicity? So if you're going to bring Snoop Dogg, it's not the act. It's the action. You know, it's the shooting money into the stands. It's all those things.
Quit yelling at clouds.
Well, I could be, but I'm just telling you. I mean, like, here's my deal. It's real simple. I mean, you got the mascot with the big blunt. I mean, why would you try to bring any negativity nationally to your program? Now, hey, there are a lot of people out there, they think F the NCAA and F this and that. Look, it's easy to blame everything on the NCAA.
Right.
And, you know, my brother, like I say it all the time, he had a show cause. It makes me sick because he did a humanistic thing. But you know what? They're not the evil empire in everything they do. And look, this thing would never happen if the FBI didn't have their investigation. So what, are they supposed to ignore it?
I think you're absolutely right. You're right. I mean, I'm not arguing that. I'm not at all. But I am saying, you know what? I personally don't care. You did it. You do it. Own it. Don't own it. And now you're just being Kansas. Let's be honest, because Kansas has been their case in federal court was, as the others were as a victim. We were victimized by Adidas. We were victimized by all these people. And you know what? Their deal with Snoop Dogg, they're victims in this too. So in one way, Seth, they are staying fairly consistent. Kansas is a victim. They don't know anything. They're just simple victims. That's what they've said this entire FBI investigation. And now this. Agree? Disagree?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I'll tell you, I'll take it to another extent. If you think about it, and Jimmy Gatto's a friend. He's having to pay $200,000 to Kansas, the victim, for all the damages that, quote unquote, allegedly did to them. All right. And then they turn around and they sign a contract with Adidas.
Right.
Like sticking it to everyone. And you're having Jimmy Gatto, just a middle manager guy, a guy that loves the game, whose dad was a terrific high school coach, who obviously made a bad decision, who had to pay your institution $200,000 because he's the perpetrator of it all. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah, it's crap. No, it is. I mean, it's garbage, in my humble opinion. But again, here's coaches that just simply say, didn't know, was sick. All right, let me go to something else. We didn't even talk about this. You ready?
Certainly.
What about Coach Krzyzewski being really the only guy in a certain way that has come out strongly in favor of pay to play? Most guys on that California Fair Pay to Play Act have kind of danced around it. Kay says, look, I don't understand it, but we need to do it. And he called on the NCAA to do it. Is this posturing by Coach Kay?
I think every guy I've talked to says they should do it. They should figure out how to do it. I mean, there's not a coach in the country that's going to flat out say,
no,
don't do it. Like Mark Few came out and said, The governor of the state of California has bigger issues.
Grandstand.
And that created a big grandstand. And you know what? He probably was grandstanding, because if you wanted to come out and do it, then you don't bring LeBron and you don't sign the bill in the dramatic fashion that he did. Now, you know, throw it up that they have a homeless issue and they have all the other issues in the state of California, a budget issue. That's real, but I'm not sure that Mark made a good decision by doing all that. I think the bigger thing is, yeah, you know what? The guy was grandstanding. And the state of California, you know, if they're leading the way, that's on them. But like I was at ACC Media Day yesterday and every single guy said the same thing. You know, I'm all for the players getting more. I mean, you know, because every single coach is going to say that. They have no choice but to say that. But they all, and Leonard Hamilton leading the way. And if you get a chance, we did an interview with Leonard Hamilton. Leonard Hamilton basically saying he's kind of dumbfounded in a lot of ways, because like the average player, his players get about $1,400 a month cash tax free upon, the value of the education at Florida State.
Above and beyond, it's a cost of attendance.
Cost of attendance and Pell Grant and everything else his players get. And, you know, he's concerned, and Leonard kind of, he stated he's concerned that everyone's more concerned with, you know, getting it now as opposed to the value of the education. So, but across the board, every single guy said, yeah, of course, you know, we want, to do as much as we can for the guys in our program. But I think what Kay did was he got behind the state of California, but let's be real. The state of Florida's getting involved with it. The state of New York's getting involved with it. The state of North Carolina's getting involved with it. And the more states that get involved, it's going to move forward what the NCAA is doing. Here's the deal. The NCAA, once again, is their biggest they create their greatest problems, because just shut up.
No.
Just shut up. And you know what? Let the committee that has been assigned to come back and bring you recommendations, let them come to you. Give them the recommendations you present. That's the only time they should be talking about this, is when the recommendations are finalized and they're presenting them to, you know, the membership. That's the only time they should talk. Every time they talk now, they give their opinion on the issue. And every time they talk, instead of saying we have a committee doing this, they all kind of posture their position. Shut up and let this process take place. End of it.
I think other than on podcasts or radio shows, shutting up in terms of times of crisis is very good advice. Look, I agree. All coaches are going to support. Kay had a prepared statement like Kay does, and away you go. All right, let's talk some colleges. Can we talk some conferences?
We talk some hope, because in the end, you know what? In 3 weeks, games are going to start.
Yeah.
And you know what? The only thing people are going to want to know about is my team good.
Right.
Who's going to win and by how many?
All right. We're going to start with the Big Ten. I believe this. I was at Big Ten Media Day. I had a chance to talk to a lot of coaches. One of the teams that I'm really excited about, Michigan State to me is the front runner. Most teams are kind of, the right word I'm going to say, Seth, is up for grabs, meaning every team's got guys that could play well, might not play well. I'm going to give you a team that I know you like. I think you're going to see in a week or so. I kind of think this Maryland team may be the most talented that Mark Turgeon has had. I'm telling you, Seth, when you go down the list of guys, when you go down the list of players they have in the NBA, holy cow, do they got guys. Kevin Huerter, they got guys everywhere in the NBA. I like Maryland. I like this Wiggins kid. I love Anthony Cowan. Give me your take.
Yeah, I mean, like everyone I talk to, all the NBA guys, that's the first name that comes off the mouth after Jalen Smith is Wiggins. I mean, Wiggins, he's got size, length, can shoot it. You got a senior point guard in Anthony Cowan. You've got an NBA lottery pick in Smith. You got Darryl Roussel that kind of slashes and dashes and gets in the lane. You know, you've got the kid, Ricky Lito. Is it Lito?
Lito, yeah.
Lito hard playing undersized four guy. Here's the deal. Maryland, I'm going to put it very simply. Maryland will be a top 10 team if they take care of the ball. Plain and simple. They can't pitch it away 20% of possessions. If they take care of the ball and play small, and they've got a very good freshman class with some bigs, they need to think about figuring out a way not to turn it over. And I think playing two bigs together makes it a little bit more difficult in college basketball today. But if they took play two bigs, then those perimeter guys cannot turn it over. If they don't do that, they're a top 10 team.
Can they compete? Because I would say we probably should have started with this. Michigan State's the team to beat, I would assume. I mean, Michigan State may be 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever you want to put them in the country, probably are. They good enough, Maryland?
Yeah, they're good enough. They got a great home
court. With Michigan State?
Yeah, they have good. Here's the thing, and I'm obviously a big Michigan State fan because I'm a huge Cassius Winston fan, who I was last year before the season, and just watching him. Josh Langford comes back. You know, is he going to be 100% healthy? Obviously, Aaron Henry's got to take a step forward. They're going to miss Kenny Goins.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to miss Kenny Goins. Kenny Goins was not a good ball screen defender. He was a great ball screen defender. He also blocked some shots. He also knocked down some threes. He also had all this experience and poise. Now, Xavier Tillman is really, really good. He's really, really good. But I still think that's going to be an interesting. Is Kithier, how good is he? You know, is Bingham, how is he going to take a step forward with maturity and his body fill out? I mean, that guy has potential. He was well overrated coming out of high school in terms of, oh, yeah, he's a one and done. No, you know, he didn't have the physicality, the maturity and anything else to be that guy. But he does have tremendous potential. Like, to me, if he learns to compete, then, you know, that changes. Everyone says the kid Rocket Watts is the real deal. Really, I'm like the real deal. Yeah, I mean, you got to start with Michigan State. I mean, they made another Final Four, and it seems like every single guy that plays from goes to the Final Four. You can't deny their toughness, their rebounding, and just how hard and well they play.
You know what I think is interesting about Michigan State? You look at their schedule. They open with Kentucky. They're not playing like Central South State. They're opening with Kentucky, and maybe they couldn't play before. I don't know. Maybe there's a rule. I don't know, but I'm just looking at their schedule, and I thought, man, that's pretty cool. You are playing.
Well, that's champions. Champions, they rotate the opponent. That's
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying they're not playing a game before it.
Yeah, that's the opening day.
That's opening day. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's opening day. Yeah, it's opening day of the season. Well, yeah, how about this? I'll give you a better one.
Yeah.
In the ACC, and I don't want to get off it, every team in the ACC but Duke, their opening game on opening day is a league game.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, yeah. Why is that? Do you like that?
Well, it's the ACC network. It's, you know, opening up their season, yeah. You know, digging right in. And you know,
would you like that as a coach?
I wouldn't like it as a coach.
I would love it if I won.
Yeah, but then if you lose, it's miserable. And yeah, and the other thing is that, you know, it's a hard game to get ready for coming right out of the shoot. And then, you know, you're being 0-1 and you really had. Now, if you went on a European trip and your opponent didn't, I think you huge advantage.
All right, I'm going to go back to the Big Ten real quick. I asked you this on my radio show.
Let's get through it. Let's get through it.
I said to Indiana fans who hate me, basically, because
why do they hate? I saw you wearing an Indiana pullover the other day.
Yeah.
You're totally behind your alma mater.
Yeah, they don't like me. You know
your
what?
Your daughter's alma mater.
Yeah, my mom's alma mater, my brother's law school, my sister's alma mater and law school, whatever. Seth, I made a bet with Purdue fans. I'm going to give you two things. One, I made a bet with Purdue fans. Indiana's picked 10th in the league. I said, I'll give $1,000 to the Tyler Trent scholarship fund if Indiana finishes 10 or worse, 14 teams in the league. And a guy on my show is giving $1,000 to a Thompson scholarship. I think it's Thompson scholarship fund at Indiana. Am I going to be paying money? Is Indiana going to be 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th?
Nah, they're going to be above that. Well, look, I think that, you know, Finney and Durham and those guys are going to be.
Let me give you a name. Can I give you a name?
Yeah.
Devontae Green. Danny Green's brother. I'm telling you this. Remember,
he's the stability guy.
No, he's going to be 18 to 22 this year. Mark my words. He's going to be a guy. Now, if he gets hurt, all bets are off. I'm going 18 to 22. He's quick. He's strong. And Seth, he does not give a rat's you know what. He is built to score. He was really good without Langford last year. Mark my words. That kid is going to have a great year.
Now, don't you think Finney and Durham can guard?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that'll be good. I mean, how good is Trace Jackson?
As talented as any. I remember Dale Davis, Trace Jackson Davis. Yeah. Dale Davis, that's his dad. He's long. He's athletic. He's a really nice kid. And by all accounts, maybe too nice. I don't know. But he is not a, you know, shoe guy. He's a ball player for a team. He's not looking at the next level. And if he continues to do that, he may be a one and done. He's that kind of talented. Key for Indiana also, when Indiana played well last year, which they didn't do a lot, Deron Davis, big old kid, played really well against Michigan State, man. I mean,
he was great in that game.
Yeah, and when they played well, but he's hurt. He's never been in great shape because he's always been hurt. He's sitting out right now. I'm telling you, if he comes back, Indiana is going to be a top six Big Ten team and make the tournament. If they don't make the tournament, Indiana fans are going to shift their mad from me to Archie, I do believe, because you got to make the tournament, Seth.
I agree. And you think about the situation when they let go of Tom Crean. You know, if they don't have injuries to OG Anunoby, they definitely continue to be a tournament team and maybe make a run.
Yeah, and so, you know what? Tom Crean did a great job on our networks of, you know, kind of putting himself back, and then he goes to Georgia, and a lot of people are saying, you know what, why? I Purdue. Seth, I love Aaron Wheeler. Love him.
You love him. Your guy.
That is – he and Green are my two guys, along with Cassius Winston and the rest. But I love Wheeler, and I love Big Williams, Trayvon Williams. Love him. What do you think of Purdue?
Yeah, I think I like Nojel Easner because he knows exactly who he is. I mean, they've got a bunch of guys that know who they are. I mean, Matt Harms is like the Energizer buddy that, you know, he's a little wacky, but you know what? He plays as hard as humanly possible, and he plays with great energy, and you know, they don't ask him to do anything he can't do, which is, you know, the most important thing. I'm a big, big believer in just how Matt puts guys in positions to play to their strengths. Now, I'm interested, you know, the grad transfer from High Point, the Proctor kid, I mean, how good is he? I mean, put on a bunch of numbers, but, I watched Carolina practice the other day, and they have two fifth-year seniors, and they're good players. But there was, you know, they don't blow, you know, they don't jump off the page when you put them with like-type athletes. So I just think that Matt Painter does a great job of making guys – play the way he wants them to play and play for each other. They don't take bad shots. They make it hard for you to get a good shot. They run good offense, and the right guys shoot the ball. So I'm a big Matt Painter fan.
Yeah, Matt Painter is like the – I think John Rothstein said it, man. He's the kind of the Bull Ryan of, you know, you're going to finish first, second, third, or fourth, that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just what he's going to do.
So who's going to breakout team? Here's my thing is, right, you got Michigan and Juwan.
Yeah,
obviously, you know, they've got Xavier Simpson back. Don't let him go right because he goes live usually makes you hurt. You got Brooks back. You got Nateski back. How could they be? And then Penn State, are they the team that – are they going to be the team that has the breakout year?
If Penn State has a breakout year, then Lamar Stevens is the player of the year in the Big Ten. Look, he's been there a long time. He scores. He's that awkward body. He can get you 25, I believe. They love Curtis Jones, man. Curtis Jones started at Indiana, dropped 25 or so on Kansas as a freshman, I think in the Garden. Transferred, I believe it was TCU, and I was talking to Pat Chambers, and he loves him, man, because he can get the ball in the bucket. They think Mike Watkins mentally is where he needs to be, and he's a difference maker in the league, Seth. I say it every year. I do. They got enough. They just got to keep.
They do have enough.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, they got enough. They just got to keep it rolling down the track. The other team I kind of like, and I don't know, I look for Ron Harper Jr. for Rutgers to have a big year. I love Geo Baker as a scorer, Seth, and I think Steve Peichel is one. I think 2 or 3 years from now, we're going to be talking about Steve Peichel as one of the most underappreciated coaches in the country. Because let's be honest, when you look at what's happening with Rutgers football, they just fired Chris Ash, their coach, and now you're talking about Peichel trying to rebuild. The athletic department ain't great. But I'm telling you, I believe this. I believe in 2 or 3 years, we are going to be talking about Steve Peichel a little bit like we started talking about Beilein when he went to West Virginia and turned that thing around. I'm telling you, I think he's that good. I do.
Okay, he gets him to play really, really, really hard. They lost the one kid who transferred, which absolutely killed them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting. They built a new practice facility, which is going to obviously be used because, I mean, like, the Rack's a great home court. They got to refurbish it. But they needed something to show that they're committed to competing in the Big Ten. Look, that guy's a blue-collar, hard-working, old-school coach that they're going to defend and rebound. That's what they're going to do.
I anticipate, you know, I've given you a couple names, but I do anticipate Ron Harper Jr. Remember that name? I mean, obviously, remember his dad. His dad gave me 36, Seth. He did, at Assembly Hall. Can I tell you one quick story about that?
Sure. Anytime someone drops 36 on you, it's a good start.
Man, opening day, junior year, Alford was a freshman. We get beat at home by Miami of Ohio. I block his first shot. He grabs it, spins, dunks on Uwe, blah, my 7'2" roommate. He gives us 36. It's like a 1 o'clock game. This is true. Game was over at 2. He says, all right, everybody go eat, come back. We're practicing at 4. Seth, true story. We practiced at 4, full court pickup, one-on-one until somebody's bleeding. Well, I had a scab. I picked it about an hour in, started bleeding. He said, all right, Dockets, we're going to come back and practice at 7:30. We did again at 7:30. All right, we're coming back and practicing at 10 at night. Seth, we got out of there around 12:30, 1 o'clock. Practice the next morning. You know what time it was? 5:30 or 6 o'clock. Being literal here, I used to tape my ankles. I slept in my ankle tape. I told trainer Tim Garl, tape my ankles so I can get 20 extra minutes. We came back and we didn't lose a game for a while because, well, quite frankly, we didn't want to have 10 practices. There you go, baby.
There you go.
Life with Bobby Knight. But I do think Ron Harper Jr. is going to have a big year. All right, Sethy, is that it for the Big Ten?
I got two other questions, Big Ten.
Yes.
All right. Has Northwestern, question number one, lost their momentum? All right. And can Fred Hoiberg win it at Nebraska?
First one first. Yes, I think Northwestern has lost their momentum. I do. I thought that, you know, I think they, Seth, would you agree with this? They go to the NCAA tournament. It's so dramatic, right? Derek Parton hits the shot, full court pass. They beat Michigan. They go to the next year. They got to play in Rosemont. They can't play in their own place because they're building this thing. Their seniors don't dig whatever's happening. Team's bad. Last year, I lost a lot of kids. Now, I think they've lost momentum, and I think part of it was due to they couldn't have a home court a year after they built this great thing and going to the tournament. So, Seth, I do think they've lost momentum.
Yeah, it's hard. Once you lose momentum, man, it's hard. And
it
I know
is.
Chris has got great passion and great energy and great enthusiasm, but, I mean, that's hard.
What was the next question you asked me?
Well, you know, Fred Hoiberg, he's going to reload all these transfers and things like that. And I mean, they've got incredible facilities there, and they obviously have a passionate fan base.
Seth, they sold out every game.
They were in the NCAA tournament.
Seth, they sold out every game. Every game is sold out. Do you know how miserably cold it is there to go to a game? And you know where people come from? This isn't football. This is basketball. Do I think Fred Hoiberg will win there? Yes, I do. I think Fred Hoiberg will. Let me put you this way. He'll do what Tim Miles did and maybe a little better. But I don't know that he's going to jump ahead of Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue. I don't know. I don't see it. Did you know this, Seth? He has Doc Sadler, the former head coach, on his bench as an assistant coach.
Oh, it's the greatest.
It's the greatest.
How about Doc Sadler? He's one of the all-time great dudes in the world.
Yes.
All right. Another question, just in general. Iowa, Minnesota. I mean, Iowa's had the pencil kids suspended, I guess, obviously.
Yeah.
Isaiah.
The problem for Iowa is Jordan Bohannon is out, and they didn't think he was going to play. He's got a terrible hip. Fran told me at the Big Ten tournament or Big Ten media day, they think he's going to maybe play. This is a kid that all the big shots. Down 10 or 0 for 10, excuse me. He doesn't matter. It don't matter to him. He's going to knock in big shots. That's a huge loss. I like their team. I don't love their team. I think that, you know, Fran's son is not a great player, but Fran's son adds something to him, and now he's got two kids there. I think that's an incredibly interesting dynamic for a coach. I think I don't know if good or bad. I think it'd be great to be able to do as a head college coach. But you got Patrick and you've got their other son there. That's
hard.
That's going to be interesting.
But I'll tell you who's really good. Joe Weiskamp is really good.
And he's taller than you think. I was with him. He's 6'7" at least, and he can play it inside. He moves. He cuts. He can play in the front of a zone. He can play on the back of a zone. Joe Weiskamp is really good, but I swear to God, you think about it, Bohannon, a senior, he's been on the court his whole career, and he's not going to be 100%. I think that's tough. I think that's tough duty for them. I do. Ten that we don't know. Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be interesting. And then Minnesota, I mean, you know, they losing Coffey, I think. Coffey and Murphy, I mean, I just can't see them.
Personal note, Eric Curry is a great kid. Eric Curry's been hurt his whole career. Eric Curry just got hurt again for Minnesota, and I hate it for him. I don't know how much he would help because of the injuries, but you mentioned Coffey. He goes to the NBA. I don't think he's on a roster, is he? I don't think he got drafted. I don't think he's on a roster. Murphy, his eligibility is up. Okay, fine. But damn, for Coffey to leave, he's from there. His dad played there. I don't see Minnesota being anything other than a battle all year to try to get to the midsection of the Big Ten.
Yeah, I agree.
Where you? I hear you flipping pages, so you got your notes.
Where are we headed now, big boy? I think we're going to head to the ACC. I mean, I just got back from the ACC, so let's head to the ACC. I mean,
all right.
What do you think?
Duke loses everything. All right, let's start and end with Duke. Duke loses everything. The most hyped guy ever is no longer there, the Zion Williamson. How will Duke be?
They'll be Duke because they got Trey Jones back. First of all, it'll be Duke because, I mean, they've got good players. Now, here's the thing. People forget. They got four guys returning.
Right.
Delorier is returning. Trey Jones is returning. My man Jack White, who went about 6 months without making a shot, but still is a tough kid. Alex O'Connell's returning. I mean, they got guys returning.
See, I was doing that on purpose. I wanted you to say they're going to win the national championship because they got returners.
No, I don't think they're going to win the national championship.
All right.
I don't. I think Matthew Hurt, the kid from Minnesota, is an interesting prospect. He's a good player. He's 6'8". He's going to play stretch four. They're going to go back to their old school, play him at stretch four. I think they have a chance to be more consistent defensively because I think Cassius Stanley and Wendell Moore have a chance to be really good defenders, two freshmen. Vernon Carey is a skilled, big, dad played in the NFL, but I don't see him as winning a national championship. But like Trey Jones is a big-time difference maker coming back. I'm not sold on Alex O'Connell. I'm not, Jack White. I love him. I love the way he competes, Delorier, but I don't see them as a national championship team.
Are they the best team in that league? Virginia winning the national championship. North Carolina always there. Who's the best team in that league?
Louisville, probably. Like I watched a lot of North Carolina practice the other day. They're going to be pretty good, but think about the shot makers they lost. I mean, Luke May and Williams, and I mean Kobe White. Now look. Cole Anthony is really good. He is really, really good. And Armando Bacot is got terrific hands, a very good passer, a big body. He's going to be another very good freshman. Brandon Robinson will make shots to some extent. Garrison Brooks has gotten better. You know, those big kids at Carolina always get better. But like the two grad transfers, Jordan Pierce can shoot some and Kristen Keeling, but I don't see them again. I don't. You know, I think they're going to be a dangerous team in the tournament because of their style of play. They are playing faster than fast. Virginia, I watched them practice. I just don't see them shooting the ball. Now, they're going to have to play differently. And think about this, Dan. You know, like, those guys leave. Those dudes made a lot of buckets. I mean, they made a lot of buckets. I mean, in big buckets and hard buckets. And Ty Jerome solving the defense. And you know, if you go under, he knocked down a three. If he got his shoulders by, he laid it in or made a pass. And, you know, DeAndre Hunter and you can talk about the system all you want, but the three guys returning, their roles change. Explain to people when someone's role changed, how different that is.
It's night and day. I mean, let's be honest. Diakite, right? His roles change, right? What's his role going to be?
He's going to he's their front
score, right?
Yeah,
right.
He's going to have to score. And right. He's improved. I have to admit, he's improved.
Let me tell you something, Seth. I thought he was really good, but this is a completely different role. All right, let me ask you this. I thought Clark was a good addition to the team, right? Third guard, pressure the ball, you know, take away whatever the other team's quick guard. What does he have to do this year? But I don't know. I mean, what does he have to score? I mean, somebody got to score. So, I mean, you made a great point right there with Virginia. Bottom line, they made shots. Braxton Key, 6'8". Played basically in all the games, averaged 5. If you were looking at their team, would you say, all right, Braxton Key's got to average 10, 15? I don't know. What's he got to do?
I don't know, because the best thing he did was rebound the ball in the championship game. He had 10 rebounds in the championship game.
But wasn't he billed as a shooter coming out at Alabama?
He's better as a four. Yeah, he scored more points at Alabama, but I mean, like, you got Braxton Key, who's going to probably have to play three, so they're not maybe as good a passing team. You got Kia Clark, who can really get in the lane and pass it and guard the ball. He'll be good at that. But, I mean, you think about Ty Jerome just kind of putting guys on. I mean, like, the plays he made, the shots running Kyle Guy off the blocker mover or their sides offense and having him just curl and, just knock down shots and – DeAndre Hunter catching at the elbow when they need something to happen. I mean, they lost good players. Jack Salt screening people's brains in. I mean, it's going to be different. I'm watching them. They are really early going to be struggling scoring. They're just going to really struggle scoring. Now, Louisville, they won't struggle scoring.
Last thing about Virginia, I did the summer league. You did the summer league, and I had a chance. I interviewed the three kids. I interviewed Hunter and Jerome and Guy. And you know what? This is no surprise to people, but when you win a championship, the connection that those three guys had, the intelligence that those three guys had, and the general affection those three guys had, that is not. I know Tony has a great system, and I know that his players do that. But that was a special group, and let's be honest, man, that Purdue game was an epic battle that sometimes togetherness takes you through. How about how they won against Auburn with guys stepping up, making three freaking free throws? I mean, special. Replacing that, I think, even though they're going to win games and they have a great year, I'm sure, because that's what they do, that kind of special, man, as a coach, you know this, Seth, that don't come around all the time. It just doesn't.
No, you're right about the bond. The year before, I did the same thing with the Villanova kids. And, I mean, like, those guys were talking about, like, how different it was with their NBA rosters and just, you know, their teams looking at each other, like, almost looking at each other, like, damn, I miss you, man.
Yeah.
I
mean, yes.
I mean, it was a really cool thing. I mean, and those guys have, and I know everyone makes funny when I say the shared experiences that they will have with them, a bond for a lifetime. And that's just the way it is when you play on a special team and you have a special experience. And that's the great thing that is totally underappreciated in college basketball.
Louisville.
I think.
Louisville.
Louisville's good. I think Louisville can be really good. I have only concern is the point guard play. Jordan Wara is really good. I mean, he's a bucket.
He can get the ball in the bucket. There ain't no doubt about that, man.
You know, and Sutton is a hard playing Chris Mack type kind of Swiss Army knife guy that does, you know, just a little bit of everything. I mean, he's good. And they get Stephen Enoch as a fifth year guy. He's tough. Now, Malik Williams is hurt. He'll be out a little bit. Samuel Williams, a freshman, they're very high on. Here's my concern. Two things. We're putting them on a pedestal, and I think, you know, and deservedly so. I mean, they got a lot of guys back. Now, here's what people forget and is a concern. One, point guard play. All right? You know, Christian Cunningham was really good. He got him in offense. Will Lamar Fresh Kimball, the transfer from St. Joe's, give up a little bit of himself? Or Darius Perry has been a little bit inconsistent with being a leader. So that's number one. Number two is, if I said to you, a team that lost 8 of their last 10 was picked to win the ACC, you would say?
No, unless it was Duke or North Carolina or Virginia. No, I mean, I would say.
Well, they lost 8 of their last 10. I know. No one talks about it.
I know, and that's shocking to me. You know, you lose 8 of your last 10, that tells you the cookie crumbled. Or somebody important got hurt. I mean, one of the two.
Well, the Duke game crumbled their cookie.
Well, that's okay. Then that's on them, right? I mean, everybody suffers tough losses. You got to bounce back. And 8 out of 10, I would question. I think one of the things that you see in sports is guys are really good consistently at certain times of year. Like, I think that, you know, if you lose 8 out of 10 at the end of the year, I think then you got to question as a coach, what are you doing? Are you working them too hard? What happened? But I don't question Chris Mack. I think Chris Mack is terrific.
Really good coach.
Yeah, I think he's a perfect guy for that. In fact, I anticipate them being much better. I do think they lost just in Chris Mack's comments about, was it Christian Cunningham? I think that's a little bigger.
He's a good leader.
Yeah, and you know what Chris did last year, and I thought this was interesting. He had to piecemeal a team together, and he got a bunch of guys from different places, and he fit them in. I got to believe the 8 out of 10 is not going to even come close to happening again. I wouldn't be surprised if they won 8 out of 10 at the end of the year this year because of how he coaches and how he has. But it does, yeah, it is a concern, particularly in a league where you have programs that, quite frankly, win 30-plus games and don't lose 8 out of 10 at the end of the year, North Carolina, Duke, and Virginia. You don't?
All right, now I agree. Now I'm going to give you another one.
Sure.
The Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, boy.
The ACC, for everyone.
Florida State?
That doesn't know, Florida State. It's a joke.
That's
like,
crazy.
Like, here's the deal. Trent Forrest back, MJ Walker back, Raekwon Gray, who I think is
the strong,
like,
built football guy. Love him.
He's Draymond Greenish.
A little shorter, but he is, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Patrick Williams, they got a great recruit coming in. They've got a zillion front court, big front court guys. Like every year, we, you know, like you look at the preseason top 25, they're nowhere to be seen. You look at Marquette, who loses the Hauser brothers, and you know, they're top 25. I mean, like, what eventually people are going to say, like, what's going on in Florida State? They're good every year. Why don't we just say they're going to be long, they're going to be athletic, they're going to play hard, they're going to play pretty good space, and they're going to win games? What does it take for them to get that type of recognition?
I don't know, but close your eyes, and sports fans that are listening, tell me what you think Florida State's record was last year. Let me give it to you. 29-8. 29-8. Now, Dennis Gates is gone. I love Dennis Gates. He's going to be the head coach. He is the head coach of Cleveland State. Cabangeli is gone. I thought Cabangeli was
amazing story.
And you know what else? Amazing energy. Amazing energy.
Coming off the bench.
Yes. Didn't care. I did more Florida State games last year than I've ever done. Florida State, to me, would be among the most difficult teams to play night in and night out.
And
they have length. They have quickness. They guard the living hell out of you. If you're not playing well, he comes in for you, and next thing you know, he's the same guy with better energy. It is absolutely what you said. Fascinating that people don't. They have lost some stuff. Okay, I mean, stuff. They've lost some players. Okay. Gonzaga got him last year.
Terrence Mann was a good player.
Terrence Mann, his mother was a coach, and he played like a coach. And he was pretty good in the summer league, too. Terrence Mann.
Yeah, Terrence Mann's gonna be in the league 10 years.
I believe that. I do. So no, I'm with you. I love their pieces. I love their team. I don't know that they're gonna be better. Well, I mean, let's be honest. Duke, North Carolina, Virginia sitting right there, and you mentioned Louisville. That's pretty top heavy. Not only top heavy ACC wise, but that's top heavy nationally. Let me ask you a question.
Three number one seeds. I mean, crazy.
Let me ask you a question. Can Notre Dame get back in that stratosphere?
I was just, you know what? That was the next one. I do. Prentice Hubb will be healthier. John Mooney is like Pac-Man. Rex Fluger, really, really hard. Everything he's been through. I'm interested to see how he responds. Those freshmen are sophomores. They haven't gotten old, but they've gotten older. You know, when you say get back, you're talking about.
I said get back into that stratosphere. Fourth, fifth.
Next year.
All right.
Yeah, I like Nate Leshefsky. I think, you know, yeah. Mike was really, really high on Dane Goodwin and Carmody. Juwan Durham looks like he put some weight on. I think, look, they didn't shoot it last year. They didn't shoot it from the three. They didn't shoot it from two. They didn't turn it over. I think they'll be significantly improved next year. I really do. This year.
See, that's
NC State.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. I want to talk about NC State because that's, I mean, look, I'll take Kevin Keats coaching my basketball team anytime, anywhere. But again, you come into that league, you coach at NC State. Let me ask you this. How many years and how many coaches has it been that you're not breaking through to those guys that I've been talking about? How many guys?
I don't know if you're breaking through to those guys. You just got to be in the tournament every year and then get in the tournament and make a run.
Fair enough.
I like their backcourt. Markel Johnson, very, very good. CJ Bryce, very, very good. Braxton Beverly makes shots. Here's their issue. And they got this Funderburk issue. He's suspended right now. Man. You know, so like he averaged like 11-6 last year. Like, here's the deal. What are you doing, son? Like, what are you doing? You come off a good year. He was a Florida State, Ohio State transfer, right?
He got suspended at Ohio State.
All right. So you get a life. Someone sends you, throws you out a life preserver. All right. You're in position to have a really good season. Suppose I talked to Kevin this summer. He was having a great summer. What are you doing? I mean, like, what are you doing? I mean, you're just letting your team down. But so I think he's a big question mark. He's high on Manny Bates. Kid can block shots. He redshirted him last year. And he loves this kid transfer from Lehigh. This guy named Pat Andres said he's not a good shooter. He's a great shooter. So it'll be interesting. But Kevin Keats, I had lunch with him the other day. He just has a great energy about him.
All right. Let me ask you what you asked me about the Big Ten breakout team.
I mean, if I'd set a breakout team, I would say it would be. I don't think they're going to be a tournament team, but I think they're going to be much better, and that's Pitt. And I'll tell you why. The guards, like those two guards, Trey McGowan and and Xavier Johnson, they remind me of Xavier Nadeau and Jamon Gordon. And those two guys that I had, Xavier Nadeau and Jamon Gordon, all they did their sophomore years win 8 games in the ACC. As seniors, they won at Duke and won at Carolina. They were absolutely fearless. If the backcourt of Pitt can be the way they were, maybe shoot it a little bit better, be a little more competitive defensively, and they get anyone to step up in their front court, I think they could be an interesting team to watch.
I just read an article that says former Hokie head coach Seth Greenberg endorses the Mike Young hiring.
I like Mike Young. I like him. Really good guy.
How will they be?
They'll be bad. But he's going to do a good job.
Yeah, right.
I endorse it because the guy that was there before left the cupboard bare. I mean, everyone they signed, he took with him. They were a senior-oriented team. And he left, he left the guy high and dry. So they have this expectation, but they don't have anything to back it up. But Mike Young, the key to being successful at Virginia Tech is to be able to evaluate. You're not going head-to-head and beating Duke and Carolina and those people for recruits. Maryland, if you're going to D.C., so what do you got to do? You got to be able to evaluate. Mike Young, 17 years at Wofford, can evaluate. You got to be able to coach, all right, because you got to be able to get old, stay old, develop players, and have a plan. And I think Mike Young, he's from Radford, which is right next door. He's always recruited the geographic footprint of what Virginia Tech is. He played in Fork Union. He understands the prep school thing. He's a good guy. And people need to be patient, but I think he'll do a great job. It's easy for me. I 7 years, I hadn't been back there, but one time to see one of my players go in the Hall of Fame. I hope he does well. I like him as a person. We used to do a self-improvement clinic every year at Virginia Tech. I used to always have him come up and speak, and I enjoyed his company.
There you go. I never went to a self-improvement clinic. Nobody ever invited me. I got to be a better person, Seth Greenberg.
Well, it was a basketball clinic. It wasn't self-improvement. It was basically a bunch of coaches getting together and talking ball.
Yeah. No, I get it.
I figured pick other people's brains that were smarter than me. It wasn't hard to find.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. It really, really wasn't. All right. We good?
Well, we got to talk about one last school.
You tell me.
I mean, what school? Your favorite coach in the league?
In which league?
In the ACC. Your favorite coach in ACC. Come on now. The James Dean of coaches.
Oh, I love me some Boeheim. Boeheim.
I mean, I can't believe you dissed your guy.
Let me tell you something. To me, Syracuse is still in the Big East, but what the hell do I know? How good will they be? And will they play zone?
Well, he says he can play man-to-man, but that's...
I saw that. What's he talking about? Come on.
Well, they work on you. And I go up there because the lovely Jackie Greese is finishing up law school up there, and I watch him. And they do practice man every day. They really do. But they'll play a little bit, but not much, because in the end, Leopards don't lose their spots. But the key is going to be Jalen Carey, the kid who started as a freshman last year, and then they couldn't play him because he kept on throwing it to the wrong team or the guys sitting, doing the game on TV. He's high on his team. He likes his team. He says they're deeper than they've been. Buddy Boeheim can flat shoot it. We know that. Elijah Hughes is a tough matchup. He's really, really deep range. I like the Dolaje kid. They're going to be who they are. What are they going to do? They're going to win 22 games, and they're going to be a number 18.
And then probably get to the Final Four. He's about due. He hadn't been there in a couple years. He goes every freaking year. What the hell?
He's big on this kid, Jesse Edwards, this Dutch kid. He's really here's the deal. He's the most underrated game coach in the history.
Ever.
Amazing. If you really watch the game, and you don't appreciate just the adjustments he makes in the zone, the adjustments he makes in personnel from timeout to half, it's incredible. Guy's great.
Yeah, and so underrated. And you know what? Buddy Boeheim is a really good dude. My wife was a softball coach there, and they knew the Boeheims, and they knew Buddy. Kids were the same kind of age. Just a good dude. If you don't root for Buddy Boeheim, then that's just you being, a fan of other teams. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. I think that they're going to be better than people think. I might try to get up there in the next week or so, visit the lovely Jackie Greenberg, and watch along the Syracuse practice.
All right. We got a Jackie Greenberg sighting in, which means
we got to get a junior sighting.
I was just going to say, let me go back to Ohio State. Remember the name DJ Carton. The great Andrew Dockett says, Dad, this guy's a one and done. Point guard out of Iowa, maybe the top rated point guard in the country. Yeah, he said he's just so special. He said, you know, who knows what's going to happen during the year. Ohio State loves their team, loves their talent. The Wesson brothers, Caleb Wesson, the big, and he's a much better shape. Ohio State will be in the top five. Man, I think they'll compete for a title. I do. I think they'll come into the last 2 weeks with a chance to win the Big Ten title. There you go.
Yeah, they got a game early on with Kentucky early on too.
Yeah, was that in Vegas?
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah. There you go. We got a junior mention. Life is good.
Jackie G mentioned a junior mention. If we don't mention our kids, nobody else will. So don't at me.
Exactly.
People.
And by the way, you know what? Tell them how they can listen to us and rate us.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to say this. I think that wherever you rate, wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, wherever, guess what? You can get us and rate us nice. Rate us on our quality, not the fact that I said something bad about your team 20 years ago, because this is America's greatest podcast and should be rated as such. But give us a listen. Let us know what you think. And, of course, next week we'll all week be putting up questions under the hashtag of student section, and we'll answer your questions next week. Seth, I'm off to have hip replacement surgery, and I'm not going to lie to you. I can't wait. This hip stuff is miserable, and I can't wait to get a new hip. I asked for a combination of Walter Payton and LeBron James in the hip.
I can understand that. You'll probably get a combination of I don't even want to go into
it. Don't get it.
I'd like to keep my job.
Yeah, let's just go.
By the way, if you agree with us or disagree with us, we don't care. But if you add us, at least be civil. The one thing about Dan Dockett, don't add him if you're going to go at him, because he's coming right back.
Not anymore. I'm all about giving kids bicycles and positive on Twitter.
That's who you are. I agree.
Thanks for listening.
All right, everybody. Brother. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.